I think, and then if I hold. Okay, we're working. All right, so let's get back into prayer. So just a reminder, right? I'm taking all of this information from a book that I read a few months ago called Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. You do not have to read the book. I would highly encourage you to read the book if you're interested. The thing that really spoke to me about the book, and I will get into that towards the end of today as well, is it's very practical. I'm a practical guy. I like things that theoretically I can discuss, but then I want to put it into practice. How do I take what's in my head and make it part of my daily routine or my monthly routine, whatever that might be? Which one of the reasons why when we sat down and talked about this class was about nooks and crannies, right? How do we push the information? How do we push, you know, the gospel into the nooks and crannies of our life? And for me, this book kind of did that. And, you know, prayer, I think, is one of those things that we kind of take for granted, I think, or at least I do. And I this book helped me kind of take a step back and go, man, we have an amazing privilege to be able to pray to an amazing God who loves us, who cares for us, who wants a relationship with us. And that's how we communicate. And so if you remember last week, we talked about trying to get rid of hurry in our prayer life, right? Trying to take a step back and listen to God first and foremost. And guys, that's a hard one for me, right? Let's get it done, right? I've got my list. I'm going to get it done. This is what I'm going to do. Prayer's going to go right here. I'm going to pray. I'm going to knock out these four things, and then I'm going to go on to my next thing. It's easy to do, right? It's easy to shove prayer into that box when reality is God probably wants to talk to us. Maybe not always, right? Maybe he doesn't always speak to you during that time, but taking a step back and being intentional. Very similar to how Christ was, right? What did Jesus do? Jesus went off to be alone. He went off to be alone to have conversation with his Father. And I know for some of you, I know this is hard, right? When do you get 2 minutes of free time, right? Where the kids aren't up or running around or asking for things or whatever. You know, wherever you can try to carve that out, take a few minutes and just listen to the Lord. So that's kind of where yesterday or last week was. I mentioned this, and to me, this is a great quote that he mentions in this, which helps me think about just the phenomenon of what prayer really is, right? Invites you to learn to listen to God before speaking, to ask like a child, but in your old age. For some of us, we're older than others, just for the record. To scream your questions in an angry tirade. We talked a little bit about that last week, right? I think it was, can't remember what psalm it was, right? Where David basically is saying, will you pour hot coals over these people's heads? It's okay, right? It's okay to do that. But sometimes we don't think that, right? That's not Christian. That's not, right? That's not what we should be doing. To undress yourself in vulnerable confession. Ooh, that's a good one. We're going to do that today. Don't worry, we're not going to undress, but we are going to talk about confession. And to be loved. And this is, to me, the important one, right? Completely and totally loved in spite of everything. So, we're going to focus in on two areas today. One, he titles Our Father. Think about that, right? When the disciples asked Christ, teach us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Sorry, I memorized the King James of it back in the day. That's my Catholicism coming out from my first 6 years of life. And then the last section will be on search me and know me. So let's talk a little bit about Our Father, which I look at this, and he actually has the subtitle of adoration? What is, right? What are the things that we think about when we think about adoration, right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I'm going to get into hallowed in just a couple of minutes. But let's think about what was happening at the time, right? I've become very intrigued in recognizing that when we're reading scripture, we need to think about what's happening at the time, the historical and cultural context, so that we can apply it accordingly. So let's think about that. First things first, you know, Jesus, he's providing this foundation of prayer to his disciples. And think about at the time, was God knowable at that time? I mean, before Christ, was God really knowable? I mean, you said your prayers, you had the Pharisees, but did you have this intimate relationship? Doesn't feel like you did. And I think the three foundations that we're going to talk about is, number one, let's remember who God is. Number two, let's remember who you are. And then number three, Christ was saying, let's remember who we are to each other. All right, so let's talk about it. First things first, who is God? Well, God is love. We know that. We know that at the core, God is a loving God who created us and put us on this earth. Tyler says and he's been a pastor for about 20 years. He says the number one obstacle that the modern believer faces when it comes to prayer is an inability to receive the love of God. Why? Say that again.
They don't think they're worthy of it.
They don't think they're worthy of it. Okay. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, like experience it from anyone else.
Ooh. Right. That's a good one. Anybody else? Any other thoughts?
They don't think God is love. He's a judgmental God.
Yes, right? Yes, I think judgment comes into play quite a bit. I think society, and for that case, at us, right, you can tend to pluck out things in the Old Testament, right, especially. And all of a sudden just grab the fact that this is a God that's judgmental, you know, is not merciful, is not loving. It's very, you know, I think that happens quite a bit. But at the end of the day, we recognize that God is love. Yes. No, I would agree. I'm trying to remember why I was grabbing this. Well, it might be, but I can't seem to figure out why I've got that. Oh, yeah, maybe that's it. So, yeah. So he even says, we struggle to believe in a God as powerful, good, knowable, and loving as the one Jesus introduces us to. We buy that intellectually, that God is love, but at a deeper level, somewhere in our emotions, in our bones, we don't trust it. May go back to the fact that we've never experienced it from anyone else. Could be. That might be an idea. Anyway, okay. So let's go to the next one. Who are we? Do you consider yourself a saint? I don't. But remember, the early Christians, they referred to themselves as saints, right? Reynolds Price, who I don't know but is an English novelist, said, a saint is someone who, with however many faults, even crimes, leads us by example, almost never by words, to imagine the hardest thing of all, the seamless love of God for all creation, including ourselves. And I look at this and I think about, you know, recognizing once again who God is, who we are in Christ, and then how we refer to others, right? And I think of this word adoration. It's the place of prayer where we discover that God's love is the defining reality of every square inch of creation, including me and you. Every square inch of creation. We're going to get back to that in a little while. But I think as we start thinking through these three foundations, what does that really mean? And do you look at yourself as the work of God? That's hard. Because society tells us, well, that's being conceited, right? Seems like it. But reality is, we're a child of God. We've been created in God's image. And then now here comes the fun part. So is everybody else. Right? So is everybody else. It's not my Father, but our Father. Prayer is the place to recover God's identity, my own, and equally the identity of everyone else. That's a hard one, right? That's a hard one. Why do we go to prayer? Right? We go to prayer because God is love. He wants a relationship with us. Yes, there are people in this world that we're going to struggle with, but at the same time, Christ is basically saying, our Father. It is all of our Father. He is the creator of everything and everyone. You know, I kept saying this. Ah, yes. Okay. So, now let's talk about hallowed. He mentions that our Father is a reminder of God's intimacy. Hallowed is a reminder of His separateness, His majesty, and His incomprehensible greatness. Anybody ever use the word hallowed? Except in this case, right? I don't ever use that. That's definitely one of those biblical terms. Ooh, ching, ching. The closest English word, and Chuck, maybe I'll put you on the spot in terms of the Greek, but the closest English word that Stanton mentions is honor. But that seems to be the close. There really isn't a definition or a direct translation. Would you agree? Yeah, would you? Holy, okay. Anybody else? Holy, honor. Trisha, you said something?
I was agreeing.
You're agreeing, okay. All right. Hallowed. So, when we think about it, right, this reminder of God's intimacy, while hallowed, is a reminder of His separateness, His majesty, His incomprehensible greatness. So why is this important? Why does this have anything to do with our prayer life? Somebody? Yeah?
Because if He isn't personal, then that becomes, the hallowed becomes so separate.
Mm. Our buddy. I like that.
You know,
yeah.
So that's sort of weird. It's almost a paradigm.
Yeah. I'd give it a paradigm.
I think it's, I mean, setting the foundation of humility to start with, like to approach God with humility, and like recognizing you are, and I've always interpreted this holy, like you're holy and I'm approaching holy ground, right? And it's putting myself down as opposed to pride being the biggest threat to the way that I perceive God.
Mm-hmm.
That, I think, is why it's at the beginning.
It's a great point. Yes, Crystal.
I heard someone say that in the Garden of Eden, God had given them Elohim Jehovah, which is the God of all creation, personally with you. And when Satan talked to Eve, he said Elohim.
Yeah.
But he took out Jehovah, and she responded back the same.
Yep.
And that removed the personalization, and that's where pride got in.
Yeah.
And so if Jesus is trying to put that back in, then that would be the first thing that he would put in the prayer.
Good point. That's a great one. I've heard the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, so you've got this intimacy element, but a separateness that Wes brought up, right? And I think one of the things that Stanton says is that prayer flows from the posture of our hearts toward God, going back to the holiness, not from reaction to the world around us. Everything that comes from the Lord's Prayer after the first movement is an overflow of the name of God being hallowed in the heart of the praying person. So you've got this approach, you're approaching God, knowing that number one, there's an intimacy there, a loving father. And, you know, think about it. Think about your parental, you know, those of you that are parents or have been parents, right? There's an element there of honor and respect, but also unconditional love. Not being a buddy per se, but a respect element with that love. Okay, so let's move on to confession. So we're all going to break up and we're going to confess our deepest, darkest secrets. Go. No, just kidding. So what are we confessing, right? We're obviously confessing sin. I thought Eugene Peterson's definition of sin was a good one. Sin is a refused relationship with God that spills over into a wrong relationship with others. He approaches it from a relationship perspective. Thoughts? You agree with that? It's an interesting way to approach it. Anybody? No? Let me read a... a paragraph here. The good news is that you are loved. Loved right now without qualification or restriction. Loved unconditionally for who you are. Loved in such a way that you can't lose. The bad news is that you find it very hard to believe that and even harder to experience it. Your instinct is and will forever be to try to drum up your own lovableness, to become lovable in some way you can define and control, to try to become in your own eyes what you already are in God's. The good news is called grace. The bad news is called sin. My question is, what does, you know, we refer to Jesus as this great physician. What does that mean? What does it mean that Jesus is a great physician that has a power to heal? What does that mean to you? You think about confession, to a certain extent, right? He goes on to say, confession is how we turn to him. We look him in the eye. We acknowledge his presence here with us, not to judge, but to rescue. Isn't that the biggest difference? Okay.
And that is the healing, like to confess, to recognize, like my current state is not A, how I was originally created to be, in like right relationship with him originally, and healing is to bring, to restore towards that original intended design.
Okay. Do you think of confession as the first step in healing? Maybe?
I mean, like, when you think about, like, Jesus literally, physically healing people, the first thing that people had to do is acknowledge that they were sick.
Mm.
You know, like, the blind had to say, hey, I'm blind.
Yeah.
Their brokenness.
Yeah.
So, like, confession is kind of...
kind of that?
Acknowledging I'm broken.
Okay. And you kind of got your hand up.
I was just thinking that in order to feel comfortable to confess, you have to have a huge bank of trust behind it. I don't think you confess typically if you're not feeling trusting. And in the same way with a physician, if you don't have trust that he knows what he's doing and that he can heal you, you're not going to do what he's... not going to be healed because you're not
going to
trust
his
advice.
Your thoughts? Nathan.
I think the first step isn't confession, it's the conviction of recognizing the conviction that the Holy Spirit brings to you.
Okay.
Confession is the second
step. Is the second step, okay. I think you also then tie this in a little bit, I do, to that adoration component. Because if I recognize that God, at least for me, is bigger than anything I can bring, anything. Some of that, I think, then goes to Anne's trust comment about recognizing that I trust that the Lord can heal me, whatever that healing is, right? Bring me back to that relationship. You know, there's an element there, then you're tying that in, this conviction element where Nathan was going, and then that confession element. Now, guys, I'm not saying you've got to confess for forgiveness, right? I don't believe there's a correlation there. I think the confession is for our own sake, for our own healing. I think when we recognize, as Nathan said, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, when we recognize that we are out of, as Eugene Peterson calls it, out of relationship with the Lord, right? By confessing, we are starting that healing process. And to me, that's where I think Christ is going as the great physician. No, not yet. We're not. That's a good one, though. We should, but...
Yeah, because for me, there's...
Right.
There's a problem.
Yeah, there is an element there. I totally agree. Did not go there.
No, I didn't think he did.
No, he didn't. Eugene Peterson had a great quote. God does not deal with sin by ridding our lives of it as if it were a germ or mice in the attic. God does not deal with sin by amputation as if it were a gangrenous leg, leaving us crippled holiness on a crutch. God deals with sin by forgiving us, and when he forgives us, there is more of us, not less. I thought that was a very interesting quote. More of us, not less. But I think at the end of the day, right, and we talked a little bit about this earlier, grace is that element of forgiveness, and confession is actually how we trust what we already believe in, which is that grace, right? We recognize that God is graceful. We recognize that God is love, that he wants a relationship with you. He is not standing there with a ruler to smack you on the knuckles because you did something wrong. Right? He wants that relationship. He wants to restore that from that perspective. Right? And that's grace. That's unmerited favor, however you want to define it. Right? It's one of the pillars of this church that we go to, and one of the reasons why it was named Grace Bible Church, for that reason. So, in terms of practice, these are two areas that as you go forward this week, to think about and try to incorporate into your prayers, into your prayer practice. Number one, try to think about who it is you're talking to. What I like to think of it as, what part of God is overwhelms you? And we're going to talk about that as our group. That's actually what we're going to do. We're going to break up into groups in just a couple of minutes and talk about and exchange ideas of what is for you personally that overwhelms you about God, that gives you that feeling that God is all-knowing, all-powerful, almighty. So that's the first thing. Tyler goes on to talk about the prayer of examine. Some of you may have heard of this before, where you ask the Lord to play back the events of the day like a movie, and then you thank Him for each of those items. He talks about doing this at night, right? Looking back, Lord, you know, show me the day, right? Show me the day where you were engaged, where you were involved, so that I can be thankful for that. Now, I'll be very honest. This is really hard for me because I usually fall asleep. By that time, I'm down. But it's a great practice if you can incorporate that, or incorporate it the next morning, looking back on the day before, right? For me, sometimes I can't remember, and that's where I'm just kind of looking to the Lord to say, you know, put these things out, right? Show me where you were involved. The second is confession. And that is, search me, O Lord, and know me, and then wait. Once again, this goes back to what we talked about last week, right? That whole hurry, that whole listening to God, and why we as, you know, Westerners with our iPhones and all the other things that we have in our life, we want to push through. Take a step back and just listen and ask the Lord where you need confession, right? Nathan talked about the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we just got to stop and listen. So we're going to take about 5 minutes. I would like you to break up into your groups, and I want you to think about and talk about what specific area for you is where, and what I like to say is overwhelms you, right? Makes you think about God as a creator. And let's see if we can't help one another with that from an adoration perspective. Ready? Break.
I had nothing to do. 2 years, except trust that God was going to take care of us. And he did. You know, it was almost like I felt like I was like literally in the palm of his hand.
God was about all the time,
Yeah, something's going out.